Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Elizabeth Velasco. For the last 7 years, Elizabeth has been doing medical translation for Spanish-speaking patients and their caregivers in Eagle, Pitkin, and Garfield counties. When the pandemic hit in March, Elizabeth helped establish Voces Unidas, a Latino-led advocacy organization serving those three counties. Because of her experience in medical translation and her understanding of the medical community, Elizabeth became Voces Unidas' first promotora. Can you explain what a promotora is and what the job entails?
Yeah, so promotora, it's not a new concept. It's been around since the 80s, and it started...
How would that translate in English for those that are only English speakers?
Yeah, so I would say it's a community navigator.
Oh, so it's just another name for a community navigator or organizer or an outreach person.
Yeah, outreach person. And it started as a form of education. So it started with education for diabetes in the 80s. And it was just people from the community who look and speak like the community.
Right.
They were sharing information that was easy to understand, easy to digest in culturally relevant ways. So that's what a promotora has been. But my job now, it's a little bit different. We have a three-prong approach.
Uh-huh.
Where we want to share information about COVID and that's with everybody or Spanish speaking community. Most of my work is going to be in Spanish.
Yeah.
All the education that we're sharing, but we're also, the second part is the community navigating, which means we're going to be helping people connect to resources. You know, if they need healthcare, if they need to get a COVID test, if they have symptoms, or if they need some paperwork to go back to work, you know, a note saying they're negative or something like that. So we're going to be helping them navigate all the all the processes and systems. And
there's plenty of confusion, I'm sure, with COVID, you know, even in English. So the Spanish translation is probably pretty hard too, huh?
Yeah. So there's a lot of misinformation, misunderstandings, and there's a lot of people who have never been in the ecosystem, you know, in this that had never needed any assistance, and right now they're struggling. They're not working, or they have COVID symptoms, or are COVID positive, and are in need of all that assistance, food assistance, rent assistance, and all those things. And the third part is going to be our advocacy, which means just making sure that their civil rights are protected, that if they qualify for a program that we're fighting and we are standing with them,
yes,
to make sure that they receive the help that they qualify for. So that's going to be, and we're being very specific on the people that we are supporting. You know,
right,
we want to help,
right,
our Latino community who have COVID symptoms or are COVID positive.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. And my interview today is with Elizabeth Velasco. Elizabeth is a medical translation expert and a staff member for Voces Unidas. She is describing the organization's Promotoras program and the impact of COVID on Latinos in Garfield, Eagle, and Pitkin County. What is the demographic breakdown of the COVID cases in Garfield County? Do you know that off the top of your head?
The last time I checked, we were 52% of the cases in Garfield County, and we are only 30% of the population.
Yeah. So.
And at some point, we were 60% of the cases, over 60% of the cases.
Can you explain why? What do you think that? What are the circumstances that create that imbalance?
I feel like it doesn't have to do with our color of our skin or where we come from or nothing like that. Right. But I do feel like our way of life just makes it easier for the spread. You know, like, for example, people who have to carpool to go to work.
Yes.
They have to carpool from Parachute all the way to Aspen. So they're in the car for an hour with 10 other people. Or you have multi-generation household with a lot of people who come and go.
Right. So all of those things are good things in normal times. The close-knit communities, but with COVID entering, it creates a whole nother problem, right?
Yeah. And we're also essential workers who are working, who can't work remotely. They have to be at their jobs in person. So that's another thing.
Of the 52%, these are Latinos. What's the demographic age breakdown and that of the 52%? Are they mostly young or older? Or?
So they're mostly from 20 years old to 40 years old.
So the working age, you know, the prime working ages.
Mm-hmm.
And working a lot of these are heads of households. Mm-hmm. So what happens? What has happened? Have there been COVID deaths in the Latino community?
I think some of the deaths that we've had in Garfield County have been mostly people who are older, who had pre-existing conditions. And some were not even that old. I mean, I think we had a 60-year-old, which is definitely not old.
No, that's not old at all. Given when I'm looking back at 60, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure that we've had any deaths here in our area, but I'm sure we've had many in the country and in Denver and in our state.
You talked about you are a volunteer, right?
I'm getting paid this time.
Good. Yeah.
I started as a volunteer with Voces Unidas. I think it was back in March when COVID started. We were calling people one by one to make sure that they were connected to resources. We made over 200 calls as an organization. And at that time, I was volunteering. And this time, I'm a part-time employee. And I'm helping put together this program and our processes and infrastructure to make sure that we are set up to help people. We're working with the counties. It's going to be a tri-county effort. We're working with Eagle County, Pitkin, and Garfield, and with a lot of the nonprofits, local nonprofits, because we're not trying to do what they do. You know, they've been doing their job for many years. Public health is doing what they need to do. So we're just trying to fill in the gaps.
Right, and partner with them. So basically create better networks from Anglo to Spanish-speaking communities. What are some of the problems mm-hmm. that you've seen, the ongoing problems that Spanish-speaking the people in the Spanish-speaking community are having?
Yeah, so I'm going to share some of the stories that I saw in March, but I know that story is different now. You know, we're at the third wave,
right,
of COVID cases. So I feel like at the beginning, it was mostly people losing their jobs because everything was shutting down. You know, so at the beginning, it was people who were losing their jobs, who needed food for their household. They needed rent assistance and things like that.
Right.
But I feel like now we have a lot of people who are infected. We have a lot of people who are sick. So when you're sick, I mean, some of the places where they do the testing require a doctor's order. So that's already a barrier. You know, if you're sick and you are not supposed to be there in person, and they only have telehealth where they need to make an account, sign in, you need internet, you need access to a computer. Some of the clinics are super accommodating. They're doing FaceTime appointments. They're doing other creative ways of seeing people virtually, which we appreciate. But then there's also the cost of the appointment. So the test is free now because of the state assistance, but you still have to pay for the appointment. So that's a barrier. And then some testing centers, they do a drive-through. So what right. do you do if you don't have a car?
Yeah.
You know, so that's just for the test. It does just to get a test.
So these systems have been set up with some major assumptions. People have cars, people have a doctor, people have internet. And that is definitely an oversight at the very least, which is one of the reasons that you and Voces Unidas are working so hard to try to fill that gap. Have you had pretty decent response? Are people realizing, people in the Anglo community, Anglo leadership, are they realizing that there's some holes here, some gaps?
Yes, of course. And I think even Garfield County they were working on a program, on a promotoras program of their own that was not approved by your county commissioners. So they know what the gaps are.
So the public health department was working on the promotoras, but when it went before the county, all three county commissioners decided it wasn't something that they wanted to do.
Yeah, and I think their program was going to be a different program than what we're doing. They were very focused on education, and I hope that they keep working on that. And I know other nonprofits are also working on their own models of promotoras, because we know that the model works. We know that there's a trust when you speak to people in the language of their heart, when you speak in a way that's culturally relevant, that we understand their situations.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Elizabeth Velasco. Elizabeth is explaining the importance of trust building that comes through shared language and shared life experience, what she refers to as the language of the heart. So tell me a story about the language of the heart. I love that. I mean, that's where you work, is trying to assure people that things are going to be better. But often you're looking at, you know, some situations that are pretty bleak. How do you manage?
Yeah, so that's been really difficult for my mental health.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I feel like there's so much we can do. You know, we're also have limited resources and we try to help. But for example, I heard of a story of a dad who lost his job. He's a single dad, has two young kids, two teenagers, and is staying with his brother, and the brother can only give them a couch. You know, so sometimes the dad has to sleep outside because he wants to give his kids some privacy. So he's having trouble, and he had to get a COVID test to go back to work. So, I mean, that like breaks my heart, you know, like I wished everybody had a place to sleep, a place where they feel safe, a place where their kids are comfortable. And I'm sure that must be super hard for the dad, you know, to not be able to work and provide for his kids.
How do you manage that on the phone? I mean, you are assuring, but at the same time, there's a limit to what you can do.
I think we have a lot of really good resources in our community. So we're going to work with him and try to connect him to different resources. I know that Mid Valley Family Practice, they helped him to get some money to be able to rent a place. So we're going to try to help him connect to some of these resources. And I'm very happy that he at least has a place to stay, you know, with his brother. So, but what we know is that it's going to take time. You know, we cannot help him. I mean, especially for rent assistance.
Yes.
and some of these processes, they just take time because of paperwork and because of, and we also know that housing is difficult in our valley, you know,
right.
Finding affordable housing.
How has this affected the Latinas in the community, the women, the mothers of the, you know, can you speak to that and tell me a story?
Yeah. So in our Latino community, I feel like women are the head of the house. They're the ones that rule the house. And
that's not that's not only the Latino community. I can speak from, yeah, thank God for the women in my life. I don't know where I would have been. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So I feel like the moms, they're really working extra time. You know, I know moms always work really hard, but they're figuring out virtual school for the kids. They're figuring out how to keep everybody safe, how to keep everybody fed. And I mean, of course, family is the most important structure of society. In my mind.
In mine as well. And
so I feel like it's really, I mean, it must be super hard, you know, that the dad is trying to get, he's the breadwinner normally, and mom is at home trying to deal with the kids and with everything that's happening. And I know that the schools are looking for their support and how they can be more helpful. So I feel like women and moms have really taken on that role of leadership.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My guest today is Elizabeth Velasco. Elizabeth is a medical translator who has been helping Spanish-speaking COVID patients navigate the pandemic in the Tri-County area. She is describing the impact of COVID on Latinas, women and Spanish-speaking communities, and women's role in the community. Elizabeth is the daughter of a retired nurse who worked long hours serving her community. Well, it was true of you. Your dad had to leave and find work in the United States, right? And that left your mom. How did she manage?
Yeah, so my mom, she had a lot of help from my grandma.
Right, extended family, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandma used to watch us and takes us to school and stay with us because my mom was working overnight. So, I mean, I've always been around very strong women that just make it happen. They do what they need to do, and they keep the family going.
So do you get to spend time with your mom? How has COVID affected your life?
Yeah, that's been really hard. My mom, she came to visit with us for a couple months and was here, but then she went back to Mexico, and I had a trip planned to go to Mexico, and I haven't been able to go this year to see my grandma. So that's been hard for me because I'm really close with my grandma. She
was an important, well, she helped raise you, right? She. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She helped raise me. And when I go visit my grandma, it's just like us. Like, it's just my mom, my aunt, and my grandma and me.
No women.
Yeah. No women. And my husband, he never wants to come with me because he says that we're like chickens. Like, we get together and we're doing our thing.
Well, he feels so out of place. I mean, what, you know? It's like, well, yeah. I'll go take a walk. There's nothing. I can't get in on this conversation.
Yeah.
There's no entry. But
it just feels like so safe. That's like my safe space.
Yeah. Yeah, we're such social creatures, aren't we? And that's a really hard part to have to give up. Does your grandma Zoom? Can you see her on FaceTime? Do you get any of that?
Yeah, so we tried FaceTime because my mom has her phone, but the internet signal hasn't been great over there. I don't know if that's the company that my mom got or anything, but it's been hard. I mean, like the cell phone signal is not great, internet is not great, so we haven't been able to do much of FaceTime.
None of the chickens, huh? None of the,
no,
the gathering
we
of
can't
the,
get together.
The most- Yeah. So as a promotora, community navigator, and the work that you've done, when you look forward to this next year, what are you concerned about?
Something that concerns me is that people need a lot of help. You know, I feel like the work that we're going to be doing is almost like is case work. So we're going to be doing one-on-one with people. And I feel like a lot of people need this type of help. You know, I'm sure in the Anglo community also, I'm sure there's a lot of people who have never needed help, who had never had to go to the food bank or had never had to ask for rent assistance, that need help now and don't know how to navigate the systems. That's something that worries me, that a lot of people are going to need help. And we are, for capacity, we're only helping people who have COVID symptoms or are COVID positive. But I know that a lot of people and more people need help.
So how can people help? I mean, take me, for example, a person who can't speak Spanish, you know, I have a heart, but I don't have the language of the heart, you know, to transmit. It does not transmit. So what do people like myself and other members of the Anglo community do to reach out to our Latinos?
Yeah, so I would say support our local nonprofits. You know, they're always asking for volunteers. I know Lift Up recently, they're going to have an event where they're putting the food boxes together on Saturday. I would say just try to volunteer while staying safe.
Yeah, that's really hard. Safe. That's a hard part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a really hard line on how can I be helpful while also staying safe? Because that's the most important thing we have to do right now, you know, stay safe.
Yeah, it really has messed with social interaction in a way that you know, makes us feel less human. That's a really hard part. So helping by donating to Lift Up and some of the organizations that are trying to supply food to community members.
Yeah, I think that's a great effort to donate to organizations who are doing the work. Voces Unidas and Valley Settlement and Youth Zone and Catholic Charities, you know, all our local nonprofits, the River Center, and also maybe just if you see content on Facebook or something that has resources, just sharing.
Right.
Sharing the resources.
So, same question, only more about the new year and what your hopes are for the new year.
I'm really hopeful of this vaccine that's coming out.
And indeed.
So I really hope that we can get enough information and trustful and the right information for everybody to be able to trust the vaccine. And I hope we can get enough vaccines and we can get vaccinated as soon as possible. I mean, I want to get vaccinated as soon as possible to be protected. And I really hope that's going to be the end of the pandemic.
Yes, we all do, don't we? I mean, hopefully I want to be able to see my son and daughter and my grandkids. And to go to the store, not, you know, for me, the store was always the mercado. You know, you'd go and see people. It was the community center. Mm-hmm. And the store now is like the zone. You mask up. And it's like you're going on some kind of a dangerous mission. Everybody's masks and nobody's got time to talk. It really has changed our community. Mm-hmm. How has it impacted the Spanish-speaking community that way? Because that's one beautiful thing about the Latinx community is they're very social and people get together and party and have that really important interaction that's been denied now.
Yeah, we're definitely super social. We love people and we love to party. And we love music and get-togethers, and we work really hard and people really enjoy going to dances, going out to concerts and things like that. So that's something that I'm sure people are missing, you know, that release of just having a day off of fun, of grilling with friends and looking forward to next year. I really hope that we have time to reflect on the things that we've learned and on what those gaps are, you know, because this inequality and a lot of the things that the barriers have always been there, but maybe they were not as evident before as they are now. So yes. I really hope that systems can learn from what we're going through to be able to have, because we're always going to have emergencies, you know, there's always going to be a fire or a pandemic or anything else that just happens. And hopefully we can be more prepared for next time.
That was Elizabeth Velasco, medical translator, promotora, and a founding member of Voces Unidas. For more on immigrant stories, go to immigrantstories.net or subscribe online at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and thanks to all the community helpers like Elizabeth who are reaching out and giving a hand during these dark times.